is things that get in the way. Things that get in the way. The old proverb says that opportunity only what? Knocks once. And there are times that we had an opportunity to do something. We let something get in the way to take us out of that opportunity, and that opportunity never comes back. Never comes back. You know, the Bible talks about opportunities. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul writes to the Galatian church and he says, As we have therefore opportunity. We need to be looking for opportunity. There are more than just one opportunity a day. There's a lot of them. There's another thing is opportunity is what you make of it. You just need to understand that we need to look for opportunities. And in this verse it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do what? Good unto all men. Now there's a lot of people in the world today. That means there's a lot of opportunities to serve them. Listen, I can't serve everybody in the world. That's hopeless. But you can serve the ones that you meet. And then this verse goes on. It says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, the church is a lot smaller than the world. And it says, as we have opportunity, let us help people. I guarantee you that in our church, we have opportunities to serve one another. We have opportunities to go out and witness, and we let them go by. See, that opportunity only comes once. But God's grace, He also gives us the opportunity to go back and try to do it again. I'll say, sometimes I can't do it. Have you ever had a situation where you wanted to do something, you saw the need, you couldn't do it? The Bible addresses that too. Paul's in jail. And he writes the Philippians, and he's talking to them in chapter 4. And he says, but I rejoice in the Lord. In verse 10, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. See, they were taking care. They were sending stuff to Paul while he was in prison. And then they just got to a point that they couldn't do it anymore. And then they came back to the point, and the opportunity represented itself, and they took it. So if you get a second chance, you ought to take it. And it says here, it says, your care of me affords again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. God knows what you can and cannot do. God's not going to give us anything that we cannot do. He just wants to see if we're willing to do it. So opportunity for the Christian is an issue of A, having some willingness to do it, and then B, taking the steps to do it. No, this may be our last opportunity to do something today. So this morning we're going to talk about an opportunity that Paul had. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask that you be with this time of study and message. And Father, I pray that your truth would show. Father, help us, Lord, not to waste opportunity. Help us, Lord, to seize opportunity. Help us, Lord, to not have things get in the way of our service to you and our ability to do the opportunities that you present before us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we ask that you would have full reign through your spirit here today. Change us, Lord. Make us more like you. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 and 9, Paul is writing the Corinthian church. He hears that there's some things going on, and that's why he wrote the first letter to the Corinthians. And in this passage it says, now I will come unto you. when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way. He's not just going to do a spend the night. He wants to spend some time with him. He says, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But here's the reason why he's not going to Corinth right now. Because Paul's got an opportunity. He says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. This morning, I'm going to be preaching on the adversaries that get in the way of opportunity. The adversaries that get in the way of keeping us from doing what God wants us to do. So now we know who Paul's writing to. He's writing to the church at Corinth. We now know where Paul is. He is at the church and he's at the city of Ephesus in Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. And there is a whole bunch of things going on, so much that Paul writes this letter and he doesn't go there. So let's look at this opportunity. Paul saw the opportunity where he was. Why did he see it? Because he was looking for it. You know, there's a lot of things that opportunity's knocking, but we just let it pass us by. See, the opportunity presented itself. You know, if we do God's work, and God's work is to spread the gospel, and Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, I have to spread the gospel. I have to do this. When he saw the vision in Acts about us man in Macedonia, he said, come over and help us. He went. See, we need to be committed to do God's will. See, the opportunity presented itself because God knew that Paul would do it. What we need to understand is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, the person that walks circumspectly is walking with God. The person who is walking circumspectly is understanding that God's going to bring people into their path. God's going to bring situations into their path that will present themselves and he'll see them. There's a lot of people today walking through the world blindly. And they miss opportunity to witness. They miss opportunity to serve. We have plenty of opportunities, even in a small church, for everybody to get involved. More than we could possibly do. The opportunity is presenting itself. So Paul is in Ephesus. He started to go to the synagogue. And you can read in Acts chapter 18 and verse, and also in chapter 19. He's really talking about what's happening in chapter 19. And he goes to the synagogue and people start getting saved. And there's revival breaking out. People are changing their lives through the power of Christ. So Paul saw the opportunity where he was when the opportunity presented itself. You know, some people say that we're supposed to bloom where we're planted. What are you doing? What opportunities do you see here in San Antonio? What opportunities do you see here in this church that you say, I can do that. I can do that. See, the opportunity was one that he could not miss. In verse 9 it says, a great door was opened unto him. He couldn't miss it. In Revelation, Christ gives seven letters to seven churches. In Revelation chapter 3, he commends the church at Philadelphia because they're doing what God wanted them to do. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, and this is my prayer for our church. This is the prayer for every church that we have right now. Is that we would have this opportunity. We would have this door open. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. See, if you're never looking for God, you'll never see the open door. If you're never looking for God, you'll never see the opportunities. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. What opportunities God gives you, He will not take away. Man can't take away. He can fight against it, but he's not going to take the opportunity away. He says, for thou hast a little strength. Paul realized, he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong, because God's in me and hath kept my word and has not denied my name. You know something? When we miss opportunities that God puts in our path, it's kind of like taking the Lord's name in vain. When God takes and puts an opportunity for it and we don't do it, we're denying his name. Amen. We're saying that, God, you didn't do that. Or we're just ignorant of it. See, when we keep his opportunities, we keep his word. So Paul saw the opportunity where he was because the opportunity presented itself. He was looking for it. It was too big to miss. And the opportunity he was in right now was having an effect. In the little book of Philemon, in verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may become what? Effectual. Folks, it's time for our faith to become effectual in the opportunities that are presented to us each day, each moment. Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In another little book of Jude, verse 22, it says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Folks, opportunities will make differences in people's lives. But I guarantee you, if we never take an opportunity, if we never seize the opportunity, if we never look for them, we'll never find them. If we find them, we need to understand that this is an opportunity we can't miss. And then the other thing is that every opportunity we do for Christ will have an effect. The Bible says, he says, my word will not come back void. So what is the effect? I'll give you a picture. If you go and you read Acts chapter 19, the very first thing that happens is this sorcerer comes and says, I want to do the things you do, Paul, because Paul's healing people. There's people getting healed. There's people changing their lives. And this is the one where the demon inside, he's trying to cast out a demon. And he says, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? And he runs out. And everybody sees this. See, Paul had an effect on Ephesus. Because if you go down the next couple of verses there, verse 10, it said, everybody that was using sorcery took their books and they went into the city square and they burned them all. Oh, we need that kind of revival today. We need a kind of revival where we take all the stuff that's evil in our lives, we just take it out, we just burn them. And it says that in the account that Luke writes, he says that the price of this was 50,000 pieces of silver. See, Paul saw an opportunity because he was looking for it. Paul saw an opportunity because every opportunity that comes from God is great. Paul saw an opportunity because he knew that if he did what God told him to do, it would have a positive effect on people. And he took it. He jumped at the opportunity. But he knew it was going to take time. You know, sometimes we start something and then we don't what? Finish. Because we said, this is going to take too much time. Have you ever started one of those puzzles, got 1,000 pieces in it? And you go this is a great thing to do, but I just don't have what? The time for it. And you might put it up and just sits there. See, Paul jumped at the opportunity. He knew it would take time. And so he wanted the people at Corinth. He said, I want you to understand. He says, I want to tarry here until Pentecost. Now, in reality, Paul doesn't go to Corinth in this time. He actually sends Titus. He stays at Ephesus for 3 years. You know something? When we're working God's opportunities, it's God's timetable. When we're working God's opportunity, we don't put an end to this. And so Paul didn't put an end to this so he could go to Corinth. He basically said, I want to stay here as long as God tells me to stay here. He knew it would take time. Folks, doing the service of God is going to take effort. It's going to take time. How many times do we start something and then something comes in the way? It may be a project to, you say, I'm going to get up this morning. I tell you what, I've given up almost planning things. I have a plan on what I want to do in the day. But over the last 3 weeks, I've not done that plan at all. Because I wake up and I said, this is the opportunity I get to do this, and that doesn't happen. Because other things are presenting themselves that have a higher priority. But see, Paul was not distracted by the problems of Corinth. He's over at Ephesus, and great things are happening. And then, as it so often happens in ministry, someone comes up and says, hey, we got this problem over here. See, sometimes that's Satan working to get you off task. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11, we go back to the first part of this. We're in the last chapter of the 1 Corinthians. Now we go to the first chapter. And this is why Paul's writing this letter. He says, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. You know, sometimes we sit there and we're working some opportunity for God, and then something else comes up and distracts us, and we drop that, we go someplace else. And then we don't finish what God told us to do. So we can learn a lesson from Paul here. Paul saw a great door. Paul saw an effectual door. Paul says, I need to stay here. I will tarry at Ephesus because that's where God wants me. You know, the little foxes can spoil the grapes, right? So he doesn't get distracted. What we need to understand, folks, is that we need to have our heart fixed on the opportunity that God has presented us right now. In Psalm chapter 57, verse 7, it says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I'm going to do what God told me to do until he tells me to go someplace else. Paul was staying in Asia Minor until the vision of the Macedonian call came to him, and then he moved on. Sometimes circumstances will change and we move on. Sometimes a call will change and we'll move on. But the issue is, let God make that decision, not us. Not us. So we see the opportunity. And now we see the opposition. Where he was at Ephesus, he had opposition from without. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 10, Paul writes in the second letter to the Corinthians, because he didn't go the first time, he wrote another letter when he gets the report from Titus. And he says, this is what's happening to me here. You know, with all great opportunity comes great challenge. And he says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. See, when troubles come in Paul's life, he says, my heart is fixed. I'm going to stay where I am until God sends me someplace else. You know, sometimes we just give up opportunity because we say, it's just too hard. There's just too much friction. People don't agree with me. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. See, the last part of Acts chapter 19 talks about the other effect that Paul had on Ephesus. He was healing people. He was preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. People gave up sorcery. They burned their books and everything else. And then they stopped buying these little shrines to Diana. And they were putting people out of business. People who built, who made idols. Thou shalt not make any what? Graven image. See, when God's people starts doing God's things, then the world takes a loss. Amen. Amen. And if you go and you read all this, a guy by the name of Demetrius, who was like the king of the silversmiths there, had a riot. And the whole city was in an uproar, and people went to the amphitheater, and they were, for 2 hours, they were saying, "Great is Diana the Ephesians." And then the door was closed. And Paul moved on. But he stayed there until he wasn't going to stay there anymore. See, the opposition from without, we've preached this. We're in the fight of our lives. And I need to tell you that if you're all that will live godly will what? Suffer persecution. But that's not the main point of this. See, Paul had another opportunity at Corinth. He could have dropped everything at Ephesus and gone to Corinth to try to solve this problem. Instead, he writes a letter. And it's the letter that he writes, and it's the stuff that he talks about that really is where we are today, folks. See, the problem of opportunity in the church and everything else is that where he was wanted at Corinth, they had opposition from within. And I want to share four things this morning about how we as Christians, we as a church can miss God's opportunities. The first one is that we want to call ourselves Christians, but we want to be conformed to the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world." It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "Be ye separate." But there's too many people today that are conformed to the world. And here's what happens when opportunity comes. They're not even thinking about it. And so the opportunity comes and goes right on by and it's missed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, this is the letter that Paul's writing. He knows what the problem is. Chloe has told him what the problem is. He says, "For you're what? What? For you're what? Yet carnal. You're either carnal or you're spiritual. He says, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" See, there's too many people in God's church today. There's too many people who call themselves Christians. That's walking as the world. It's nothing new. In the book of Ezekiel in chapter 22, verse 26, the prophet is talking to the Israelites, which is a representative of us. And he says this, "Her priests have violated my law. They have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the clean, unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths and have profaned among them." You want to miss God's opportunity? Act like the world. It's going to happen that way. Because you're not even thinking of spiritual things. Folks, we need to get our mindset on Him. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. They were missing opportunities to grow in Corinth because they were carnal. We're missing opportunities today in this world, folks, in church, because we're carnal. We don't want to do it. We're not even thinking of spiritual things. The second thing, and that's in walk. The second thing is in talk. I am aghast at what's happening in the church today. In James chapter 3, verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Paul writes the church at Ephesus, he says, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. But I call people on the phone and they cuss at me. And they call themselves Christians. There's no respect anymore. You're missing opportunity because you're all wrapped up in yourself. Because they're conformed to the world and talk. Our speech is supposed to be seasoned with grace. Not seasoned with cuss words. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25. Wherefore putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. I've had people come up to me and lie right to my face. And I know it. Calling you out. It's time to start being holy. We're missing opportunities because we're carnal. We're carnal in our walk. We're carnal in our talk. That was a problem with Corinthians. And Paul could have left Ephesus and gone over there and look at what would have not have happened at Ephesus. See, we know what to do. The Corinthians knew what to do. They just didn't want to do it. The problem of missing opportunities is the opposition from within. We have too much carnality today. We have too much complacency today. Seeing carnality, not even thinking about spiritual things, and complacency, not needing to do any more spiritual things. I'm good! I'm good! Don't ask me to do any more! The Laodicean church, one of those other seven letters there, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 says this. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of what? Nothing. And knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, folks, let's not be carnal. Let's not be complacent. Let's not put constraint on us. Let's not put constraint on us. See, constraint means that not feeling capable of doing spiritual things. I just can't do it. It's my phone. Ephesians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. See, the issue is, my Bible tells me this, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Same problem in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 29 verses 10 through 12, we just covered this a couple weeks ago. It says, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and have closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers have he covered, and the vision is all... of all is become unto you as the words of book that is sealed, which men delivered it to me that is learned, and saying, read this, I pray thee. He said, I cannot, for it is sealed. I'm not looking. I do not understand. Verse 30, 12, it says, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, for I am not learned. We put constraints on us because we won't grow in our grace. We won't grow as Christians. We don't do what God wants us to do. We miss opportunities because we won't grow. The love of God is supposed to constrain us. So we do the right thing. We don't determine what we can and cannot do. Let God determine that. Oh, don't be carnal. Don't be complacent. Don't have constraint. And then the last one is conflict. There's people in the church not willing to do spiritual things. They see it. They know what to do. Galatians chapter 5 verse 7 says this. Ye run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Oh, folks, if we're not obeying the truth, we can't seize God's opportunities. We're not looking for them. We don't have the capability to satisfy them. We go back to 1 Corinthians 3:3, and it says here, look in the middle of the verse. What happens when it's about you and not about God? There's envy and there's strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Folks, this morning I want to challenge you. There's opportunities all. There are people moving into this area by the groves. We need to reach them. We need to reach out to them. We meet people every day. How are we sharing the gospel with them? Are we too easily distracted? We're worried about worldly things. We need to worry about spiritual things. We think that we're good when we need to grow more. We think we can't do it when we don't have the faith to do it. And some of us just want to pick a fight. So we see the opportunity that Paul saw in Ephesus, and it was a great one. It caused him there to stay there 3 years. We see the opposition. We see the opposition in where he was. We see the opposition in where he could have been. What do we need? We need obedience. I'll close with this passage. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 21. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, whose mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. Folks, we need a change in perspective. You know, if we're earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working wherein he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It's time for a change. It's time for a change. Get things out of the way today. You have external opposition? Ask God to remove them. That's what he did for Paul. If we have internal opposition and it's caused by us, let's confess those to God today. Are we saying that we're something and we're not acting like that and we're carnal? Are we saying that we're good to go and we're just happy with where we are and we're complacent? Or we say we can't do it because we have a lack of faith, and let God increase our faith. If we're trying to pick a fight, we can't walk together. We need to get the same mind and follow Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be ready to take the next opportunity you present. to us. Father, here's an opportunity right now that we would turn to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.